Hello and welcome to our podcast. My name is Morgan.
My name is Rachel.
And my name is Kara.
And today we are going to be talking about commercialization and commodification in ads and of relationships between producers, consumers, and sponsors. It seems like in this age, pretty much anything can be commodified. We see the evidence in online dating sites, family and lifestyle bloggers, and social media influencers. Corporations are able to make money off of this new, personalized, and emotional form of entrepreneurship where they can use a middleman like an influencer to sell products by appeal to the consumer's emotions. If you just watch a few minutes of it, you already feel like you want to buy whatever it is they're selling, even if you don't need it. The internet also allows for intimate connections between social media celebrities and fans via Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. This is an example of what psychologist Donald Horton calls a parasocial relationship, which is essentially a one-sided relationship, like that of a person and a celebrity. And this is an old phenomenon, but it changes fundamentally with the introduction of social media because it creates a false sense of connection, which makes you feel more like you might need to do something or buy something just because a celebrity or influencer you like does. This is also interesting from a global lens because we see people in poorer nations wanting products or lifestyles that may be unattainable, but the marketing efforts reach and influence them nonetheless. This creates a new sense of worldwide relative rather than absolute poverty, and also neoliberal ideas may be even more harmful for the viewer in a poorer area because they are subject to images of Western success, and these neoliberal ideas stress individualism and personal responsibility above all, when success in certain geographical contexts may be way easier in some places than in others.
With the rise of individualism showcased in the media, corporations are more inclined to use influencers as brand ambassadors, thus creating a producer-sponsorship relationship, where the company sponsors the influencer in hopes of attracting a larger pool of consumers on a global scale. Content and/or products nowadays heavily rely on this relationship. In order for the influencer to make money, they must create content which is sponsored by the larger corporations. This is applicable through all industries, whether it's television or the food industry. The ways in which we consume advertisements are constantly changing and are becoming commodified to the consumer based on region, preferences, gender, and the list goes on. These partnerships created are long-term relationships that can lead into future collaborations with influencers. An example of this would be becoming a brand ambassador, having promo codes with the influencer, etc. This then affecting consumers by expecting them to spend more money due to their loyalty to the brand and or influencer. A prime example of this is the beauty industry, where we as consumers rely on influencers' opinions of what's new and of quality product before actually buying the product. Consumers are loyal to their brands and people they look up to, which creates a quasi-monopoly effect of brand domination. However, noting the collaborative effect of influencer benefits like trips and sponsored events is very important in understanding this relationship, as it is both a win-win situation, aside from the consumer spending money. However, noting the collaborative effect of influencer benefits like trips and sponsored events, advertisers are gaining profit through influencers worldwide to reach a larger pool of consumers. This brings us to what is the morality and ethics between the sponsorship and the relationship of the influencer to the fans.
This question of morality brings in the extensive and intensiveness of capitalism and influencers' work. Because influencers are so integral to a brand's advertising, the online persona an influencer creates and cultivates is important to the brand and this work in general. This brings into question the ways that an influencer changes their personality in order to be marketable, and how much pressure sponsors put on them to comport themselves in socially valuable ways. For example, influencers acting in popular, attractive ways of socializing or interacting with other people. Because the appeal of influencers to sponsors is their connection to and relationship with their audience. Sponsors want influencers to relate products to their personal life. The whole influential component is, if I, someone who you look up to and admire, use a product, then you should too.
This brings to question, what is real and what is produced? The idea of self-branding in order to make money online is very trendy nowadays. Culturally, it is affecting everyone on a global scale.
An example of this is, there's a trend, but there was a few examples, like a woman whose YouTube name was Ravana, of people who sort of sell the vegan lifestyle and have many followers, but then they actually end up having to give up veganism, admitting that it was actually causing them a lot of health problems. Yet all their followers who are like following them in their lifestyle so closely end up being really confused and maybe betrayed.
Allison Hearn has an article that talks about this concept as well, the concept of self-branding, where she describes it as the self-conscious construction of a meta-narrative and meta-image of the self through the use of cultural meanings and images drawn from the narrative and visual codes of the mainstream culture industries. So basically, creating a brand for yourself produces cultural value and potentially material profit. And in the real world, influencers prove her exactly right in that their entire purpose in self-branding is material profit.
I think it's interesting that because a position like being a YouTuber is so trendy, it impacts the job market in terms of who's coming in, who is credible and qualified, but also who's going to college, who's getting degrees, who's dropping out of high school and becoming YouTubers because of this idea of producing cultural value and gaining material profit, all encapsulating how we are commodifying our personas as individuals for material gain and economic growth, as well as producing relationships with sponsors and larger corporations, creating advertising campaigns, which are led by these influencers to fully engage with audiences worldwide. That being said, to finally close out this episode of our podcast, we think it's important to realize that there are two markets for jobs, one being physically in the real world and one being online as a whole platform, which is constantly changing as technologies continue to rise.